More than 500,000 people will gather in New Orleans this weekend for a celebration of local culture, spicy food, and syncopated Louisiana music. It is the 36th annual New Orleans Jazz and Heritage Festival. One of the highlights of this year's festival will be the final performance of the Meters. Their music has always made it hard to stay still, but they've had trouble staying together. Music journalist Ashley Kahn is in New Orleans for Jazz Fest and the farewell of the Meters.
Here at the New Orleans Fairgrounds, preparations are underway for Jazz Fest. The fairgrounds are located in the heart of the city, and it holds the outdoor soul of the festival. Just in front of me is one of the largest of the festival's 12 stages. On Saturday, it will host up-and-coming Louisiana singer Mark Broussard, then veteran bluesman Buddy Guy, and topping the bill that evening, the last reunion of the legendary funk group, the Meters. In the world of funk, the Meters are the lost tribe, more spoken about than seen. They made the charts only a few times in the late 60s and 70s, and never became a household name. But the giants of dance music speak of them with reverence. James Brown borrowed their grooves, George Clinton praised them in print, and Maurice White, leader of Earth, Wind & Fire, remembers his first impression.
I first heard the Meters in the early 70s, and I was really impressed with their rhythm approach, which was different than most people. Made a big sound out of four guys.
So who are the Meters?
My name is Art Neville, and I play keyboards with the original Meters.
I'm Leo Nocentelli. I'm the guitarist, the only guitarist.
My name is George Porter Jr. I'm a bass player.
My name is Joseph Modalis, drummer from New Orleans. Everybody in the world knows me by Zigaboo.
The Meters first blasted onto soul radio in 1969 with dance floor hits like Sophisticated Sissy and Looka Pie Pie. By the 1970s, the Meters were New Orleans' most in-demand studio band, playing on hits by local heroes like Dr. John, with international rock stars like Robert Palmer, and even opening for the Rolling Stones in 1975. The Meters were funky, but not like other funk bands of the day, say Ohio Players or James Brown. I asked Earth, Wind & Fire's Maurice White what made the band so different.
Well, it was sort of an offshoot from James Brown, but quite different. They had a New Orleans flair, which made them different than the rest of the guys I was imitating.
Saturday's farewell concert is one of the few times the Meters have reunited since they disbanded in 1977. But today their influence has never been easier to measure. The original four members have helped form over 25 groups, including New Orleans' best loved band, the Neville Brothers. Their records are like textbooks in music schools, studied by students of syncopation. And in recent years, the music of the Meters has been used by rappers and DJs from old-school hip-hop to this year's latest. Leo Nocentelli.
The most flattering thing, I think, from a personal level and financial aspect, is the fact that all of the young rappers, man, has took the Meters music and sampled it. You know, this is 2005. They're sampling music that was done 30 years ago.
The Meters were influential, one of a kind, and like too many bands that start young, were torn apart by success. Business Squabbles eventually divided what had started as nothing more than four friends jamming for the fun and the funk of it.
We started something that we didn't know what we started. I think if we'd have realized early on in our lives that we were doing something that was really special, we would have took better care of it.
I don't think we really knew exactly what we were going to be getting ourselves into. It was all so innocent way back then. But it all turned out pretty good, I would say.
There's an old blues song that says, "Every goodbye ain't gone." Who knows if the Meters' reunion this Saturday will really be their last? They've only gotten together a few times in the past. But either way, it's a rare chance to witness a long-lost legend and to funkify New Orleans style.
Ashley Kahn is author of the book A Love Supreme, the story of John Coltrane's signature album. Jazz Fest, by the way, takes place over the next two weekends in New Orleans. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Steve Inskeep.